Good evening, everyone. We're truly honored with the presence of all those who are joining us as guests. We are always honored by your presence, and we are always encouraged that you trust us, that we are true worshipers as described by the word of our God. Those who seek to serve God in spirit and in truth by diligently heeding to his word and not the opinion of men. We thank you for being here tonight. As always, if you have any questions or if there's anything you would like to know in regards to your salvation, we encourage you to please ask one of us. Don't go home and take those questions. If you have not yet done so, if you don't mind, if you'll share your information with us, fill one of those visitor cards behind the pews in front of you with that information, and we would love to keep in contact with you if that is okay with you. Please open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, the 7th chapter. As we were able to understand this morning, the dirge, or a dirge for Jerusalem, the 7th chapter, where we would now be reading verses 23 through 27. Ezekiel chapter 7, beginning at verse 23. Make a chain, for the land is filled with crimes of blood, and the city is full of violence. Therefore I will bring the worst of the Gentiles, and they will possess their houses. I will cause the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction comes. They will seek peace, but there shall be none. Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be upon rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will perish from the priest, and the council from the elders. The king will mourn, the prince will be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the common people will tremble. I will do to them according to their way, and according to what they deserve, I will judge them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Please bow with me in prayer. Our beloved King and our Creator, Father and God, we praise Thee, we glorify Thee, and we give Thee all honor and glory. Father, as we humbly bow and we pledge our lives to Thee, we come to Thy divine throne of grace through this avenue of prayer, giving Thee, Father, not only the honor and the glory, but humbly, Father, entering into this communing with Thee to ask Thee, Father, for Thy strength, for Thy guidance, and for Thy wisdom. Father, allow us to be able to call ourselves the children of wisdom, that our fruit, Father, our conduct, our lives may echo, Father, our metaphorical mother's advice, Father. For we know that Thou portrayest wisdom as a mother in Proverbs, Father, and it was Thy Son who taught us about wisdom's children, how, Father, she is justified by them. Thus we ask, Father, to be of those that we too, Father, may be able to prove to the world, through the world, through our lives, our conduct, that shines brightly before men, that indeed Thy word is true and every man a liar. Father, as we continue to take lessons from Thy prophet's words, please, Father, allow us to meditate, allow us to analyze, and grant us the strength, Father, to focus and to concentrate on Thy word, and not the presenter this evening, so that Thou may receiveth all glory, and that Thou also, Father, may receiveth our repentance if need be, but Father also our obedience as we seek to heed to Thy word, so that we can obtain that life eternal, Father. Be with our brethren, Father, be with our visitors. We ask that You bless them, Father, for having chosen the better part, and allow them, Father, to listen to Thy word intently, and that they, Father, may be able to pay close attention, Father, and allow Thy word to continue to mold their hearts and remove that heart of stone to replace it with one of flesh. Forgive us for our sins, and we pray this not because we are worthy, but we do it, Father, in the precious name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The disappearance of wisdom's children is what we have entitled our lesson tonight. The disappearance of wisdom's children. We've already established this morning how this is a song of mourning, how this is a song of lament that has many purposes that are very valuable to us in our own lives today. But this evening, I want us to take a portion from that song. I want us to take a portion from the word, the pericope that we have read. And I want us to read something, brethren, and focus something that is very interesting and very unique. You notice verse 26 of chapter 7 of Ezekiel. There is a very, very important disappearance mentioned by God here. Let me read that passage to you again, beginning actually at verse 25. Verse 25 and verse 26. Destruction comes. They will seek peace, but there shall be none. Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be upon rumor. Notice the last part of verse 26. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will perish from the priest, and the counsel from the elders. There are many words, brethren, that we do need to pay close attention to here to understand what it is that this is this lesson being taught. But if you notice, the prophet, the priest, and the elder are all used within the same scope. For the Jews, brethren, these three were known as the representatives of wisdom. These three, brethren, were known as the authorities of wisdom. We know that the prophet, brethren, was one who would be seen as the herald of a quick response or immediate response. One whom, when he would speak to God, God would immediately speak to him to give word to the people. Malachi chapter 2 verse 7 tells us that the law should be in the lips of the priests. We know that the priests, brethren, were the original interpreters of the law. Remember that, as Brother Joel taught us not too long ago, when someone did not know whether that outburst on their skin was leprous or not, they were the ones who had to go to the priest, and the priest had to examine them to determine whether that was leprosy or not. The priests were the ones who were making sure that the law of Moses was being executed, exactly the way God had given it. And well, the elders, brethren, not the way we understand it today, but rather here the word elders referring to those of a long life, those who are aged, those who had lived a long life of righteousness, who had experience, men who had truly been able to maintain their righteousness through their entire lives, through their experience, through their knowledge of life. They could share words of advice. But here, brethren, we are seeing that there in Jerusalem, as we've already said, that this is a song of mourning for Jerusalem. They would be missing. There would be no prophet. There would be no priest. And there would be no elder. All wisdom was going to be put on hold. All wisdom was going to be withheld from the people when Nebuchadnezzar would arrive to finally destroy the temple and the city. You see, brethren, this is a very, very strong lesson that is being taught to us. And there's actually a reason why God does this. If you will, please turn with me to the book of Jeremiah very quickly. There in Jeremiah, we see why God does this, and He explains to His prophet Jeremiah why He was about to do this, as Jeremiah echoes the words of Ezekiel in Jeremiah chapter 23. And Brother Joel and I were talking earlier this morning, and yes, the blending and the blurring of the prophets, right? And it's interesting because here in Jeremiah, notice that he is going to speak similar words to Ezekiel's. Because of our time, I cannot read the entire chapter, but I encourage you to read it from verse 9 and all the way to the end of the chapter. In fact, read it all the way to chapter 27, but that is on your time because you are all diligent Bible students who love God's Word. So I know you will have this read by next week. But we're going to read beginning there at verse 28. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send or command them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. So when these people or the prophet or the priest, did you notice that? The people, meaning the elders, the prophet or the priest, ask you saying, what is the oracle of the Lord? You shall then say to them, what oracle? Notice the last part. I will even forsake you, says the Lord. Now here in my version of the Bible, I have that highlighted with red, that last part of verse 33. I will even forsake you. You see, that's God speaking to Jeremiah. That's God speaking to his own prophet. And that's God telling his own prophet that he was not going to answer him. If Jeremiah were to ask on behalf of the people, if Jeremiah were to want to inquire of God on behalf of these rebellious people who had loved a lie, who had become in love with their lies, God says, I will not give you what they are looking for, Jeremiah. I will even forsake you. But the question, brethren, we've come here tonight to answer is why? Why was the children of wisdom going to disappear? Why would there be all of a sudden a disappearance of wisdom's children? Well, we have to first establish, why do I keep using this term? Why do I keep referring to a prophet, a priest, and an elder as the children of wisdom or wisdom's children? And believe it or not, in our first point, we discover this. Because what we have to understand, brethren, is that what the people were looking for when they were approaching the prophet, the priest, or an elder was for a different answer. They were wanting to hear a different answer as to their situation. They were wanting to know something different to see if maybe one of them would contradict each other. They wanted to see if maybe God had changed his mind, or maybe the harsh words of Jeremiah were not as harsh as those of Ezekiel. Because remember that Ezekiel was a priest. But here's the truth, brethren. The reason wisdom's children were going to disappear was because the wisdom they had first professed at the beginning was not going to change. Therefore, there was no need to keep repeating the same thing that they already knew. Please go with me to Luke chapter 7, which is where I actually took the title of our lesson tonight from. When I was studying this, brethren, as I meditated, and I tried my hardest to try to bring out a great lesson from this, and I apologize because I'm probably going to fail at the great part, but we are going to find words of our God to do our best to apply. And notice there, chapter 7, verse 30, and I want to remind you that here our Lord Jesus Christ has already responded to the messengers of John the Immerser. Remember that he was in jail, and he sent the question through his disciples, are you the one that is to come? Christ responds to them, and after he responds to them, he turns to the people and he begins to explain to the people how John was that prophesied Elijah, if you will, from Isaiah. But then beginning at verse 30, notice, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And the Lord said, to what then shall I liken the men of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned for you and you did not weep. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you said, he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you said, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Notice the last part, which is where we took our lesson from. But wisdom is justified by all her children. Here is point number one, brethren. You see, John the Immerser came, and he spoke, and he preached, and they found a reason not to believe him. They found a reason not to listen to him. And the reason that Christ uses here in a way of an illustration is because essentially they would claim he is not one of our own. He is nothing like us. He has a demon. And why does he have a demon? Because he neither eats bread nor drinks wine. Remember that the Bible tells us that John would eat locusts and he would eat honey. They very likely looked upon him as an outcast, as someone who did not belong. This, if you will, was the equivalent of today saying he is a fanatic. He is, quote, too religious. He is crazy. But then Christ came, and Christ says that he ate and drank. So the reason they did not accept John was because he would not drink and he would not eat with them. But then here comes Jesus, and he does eat, and he does drink, and he is the Son of Man, and he is one of them. And only the words of John chapter 1 come to mind. Verse 10. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Because then, the excuse not to listen to Jesus, the excuse that they used to reject the words of Jesus was, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Wait a minute, the reason you didn't accept John was because he did not eat with you guys. But now the reason you don't accept me is because I don't eat like you guys? Thus, verse 35, but wisdom is justified by all her children. That includes he who did not eat or drink, and he who did eat or drink. Meaning, their actions were going to be proof. When their words would result to be exactly as they had shared it, when the advice they had given turned out to be the right advice that was rejected and not taken, therefore, they would be considered as children of wisdom, regardless of whether they ate or did not eat with them. See, brethren, in chapter 7, verse 26 of Ezekiel, we know that prophets spoke to them, rising early and until midday. We read Isaiah 65, verse 2 this morning, how God portrayed himself as someone who called and stretched his hand all the day long. And then we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 15 and 16, how God sent all of his prophets, but they mocked, they despised, and they rejected their words. We see, as we've already mentioned, that Ezekiel was not only called to be a prophet, but he was a priest. And even though Judah had really done some terrible things, there were still some righteous priests left there at the temple who were speaking out against their sin. But they wouldn't listen to them either. Therefore, even though they were no longer there to be found, it did not change the fact that the things they spoke before Nebuchadnezzar arrived began to justify that they were children of wisdom. You see, brethren, you've heard me say these words before, and I'll repeat them again. You can do whatever you want with the truth. You can reject it, you can ignore it, you can deny it. But if it is true, it will not stop being true just because you rejected, you ignored it, and you denied it. And that's the point of verse 26. They were going to look for these men, but the answer was still the same. Therefore, what God is saying is, what's the point for you to search for them now when you are seeing that what they warned you about and what they told you was going to happen is happening? What makes you think that now that this is happening, something is going to change? Everything they spoke to you, I gave them to speak, but now you chose to not listen. And if even I allowed them to speak, their answer would not change. The answer would not be different from what it always was. The difference is now you are seeing it being executed. So we see, brethren, that many times we ignore the advice, but then when we realize that the advice that we did not take is the one that would have helped us or is actually happening, the warning we chose to ignore is now taking effect because we ignored it. Well, have you noticed that that's usually when we try to look for that person who told us so? That's usually when we try to go to them. The question we should be asking ourselves is, why? We already ignored the advice. What they told us would not happen already happened. Why are we looking for them now? Well, the answer is quite simply point number two. Because brethren, these men that God speaks about there in Ezekiel chapter 7 verse 26, he's clearly exposing them as superstitious and as convenient. The only reason they were going to come was because now they were afraid. Now they needed God. Now they wanted to come to Him and they were ready to listen to God. Now that everything has happened and they were in this situation, okay, God, we're ready to come back to You. No, but God does not respond to a fool. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26, beginning there at verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle, I hope I'm saying that right, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, notice, lest he be wise in his own eyes. You see, God, brethren, was not going to allow that which is holy to be given to the dogs. God was not about to allow the pearls that the prophet, the priest, and the elder who were righteous, the representatives of wisdom, wisdom's children, He was not about to allow them to cast those pearls before swine. That's what this proverb is teaching us. If you mark your Bible, mark it and link it with Matthew chapter 7, where we find Christ used that illustration. We see Jesus speak about not giving our pearls before swine, not casting, our pearls before swine, not giving that which is holy to the dogs. And then Christ adds this warning to it. He adds this caveat to it, lest they turn on you and they destroy you. You see, God Himself was not about to respond to a fool. The fact that they were approaching God superstitiously, the fact that they were now looking for God simply because they needed Him, because they were afraid, because they wanted salvation. They wanted assurance that they would be spared. That wasn't love, brethren. That was convenience. Had God responded to them in their hour of need, well then that would have been a toxic relationship between God and Judah. Because they would only search God and seek God when they were in trouble, but when they were doing well, when they were living comfortably, they forgot about God and lived their own lives. You who are parents very likely can relate if you have children like this. Children who never call to see how you are doing. Children who, when they see you, will not ask how you are doing or even care if you are well, but only appear in your lives when they need something from you. And usually that something is not the Almighty God, but the Almighty Dollar. Children who will only call you when they have problems, when they have need. But while they are well, while they're doing good, while they're successful, they won't even reach out to you. And when you ask them, why don't you ever call? Isn't it true that the answer is, well, I never have time. I'm always busy. It's not that I don't want to call you, it's just that I'm always working. Well, how is it that when you have need? How is it that when you have problems? How is it that when you have a problem that your father and mother can solve, you find the time to call them? The truth is the same as true when it comes to prayer. How many times have we prayed just to thank God for who He is? How many times have we prayed just to talk to God about how His blessings have helped us in our lives? How many times do we pray just to pray? We hardly ever pray unless we have a need and unless we want Him to help us. That, brethren, is vain worship. That is not true worship. Even though, yes, God hears our voice, and even though, yes, God has promised to give what we ask from Him, we cannot ignore that God clarifies according to His will. Brethren, we have to be obedient children, but we also have to be loving children. There's your spirit and your truth. It's all well if we're always obedient, if we're always doing what God commands us, but if we never speak to Him, if we never call Him, if we never call upon His name through prayer just to say, God, I love You, then we're not loving children. We're calculating. We're meticulous. We're methodical. But that makes us like a sounding brass, doesn't it? That makes us like a piece of metal that makes no sound, and it is cold and without feeling. You know, this past weekend I was in the conferences there in Spring, Texas, and one of the brothers in his lesson, and I loved the fact that he did this, he told the husbands of the audience, brothers, tell your wives, and then he put his mouth to the mic and he says, tell your wives, you love her. She already knows you do. She already sees that you do. But your wife, every once in a while, wants to hear that you do. The hard part is showing her. Why can't we do the easy part of just telling her? The same is true when it comes to our God. Our God is omniscient. He knows our heart. He knows that we love Him. But we have to tell God. We have to express God. Think about the fact that in the steps leading to salvation, confession is one of the six. If we're about to be immersed into the waters of baptism for the remission of our sins, don't you think that we're already showing God that we believe? And yet God wants to hear, He wants us to confess before men that we believe with all of our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If doing and showing were enough, then why do we have to sing? Is it not that when we sing, we are letting God hear how much we love Him? And why do we have to pray? God already knows what I need. God already knows everything I have to do. Why do I have to pray? Because God loves to hear the voice of His children. God loves to hear, I love you, even though He already knows it. You see, brethren, in Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 26, the reason they were going to search for the representatives of wisdom, or as we have entitled it, the wisdom's children, was simply because they needed God. They were trying to look for Him in a vain and superstitious manner. It wasn't because they really cared for Him. It wasn't because they believed Him. It wasn't because they loved Him. Simply put, He was a means to an end. But it wasn't because it was pure and undefiled. Therefore, God removed that option. You know, go back to Ezekiel. Only this time, I want to read very quickly there in Ezekiel, chapter 20. And notice how God exposes this before them. Very quickly, chapter 20 of Ezekiel, verse 1-3. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Have you come to inquire of me? As I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. What are you looking for? Pay attention to verse 1. Ezekiel had already been a prophet for 2 years. He had already been a prophet for 2 years. And it wasn't until 2 years later that these elders want to sit and treat him as a prophet. For 2 years they didn't listen to him. For 2 years they ignored him. For 2 years they perceived him as a crazy man. Oh, but now they want to come and inquire of the Lord through Ezekiel. And God says, no. I am not an idol to be treated as one. I am not like one of your false gods. I would not allow you to belittle me. I would not allow you to equal me to them. Because there is no equality between false gods and God. He exceeds above everything and everyone. Point number 3. God, brethren, had been rejected. Therefore, what he spoke was going to remain. Remember how we started our lesson? The very advice that we did not take so happens to be the one that what was warned happened? Well, God, brethren, was going to remove the wisdom's children because, once again, they didn't care for his word when they spoke in warning. Why would they care now? As we've read in the proverb, the only thing that was going to help them learn was the rod to their back. The time for words had surpassed. The times for words were no more. Because words did not work, now actions will. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning there at verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, let's make a bit of a clarification. It doesn't mean that God directly sends liars. It does not mean that God allowed them to believe in strong delusion purposely. No. What it means is that he was no longer going to continue to insist with the truth. That there was a time where God was going to remain silent. You don't want to listen to me? Fine. Have it your way. You want to do things your way even though I'm warning you? You're going to get hurt? Okay. Here you go. That's what that means. You see, brethren, God stops calling. He stops repeating himself. There does come a point where God will not persist because he's already spoken. And since we did not choose to listen to what he spoke, well, then he is going to be justified by the execution of the warning he told us would happen. And let me put it to you in terms that we can all understand. If you are walking down a hallway and you trip because there's a dip or a hole there on the pavement. You turn and you tell to your loved one, "Be careful, there's a hole down there. I just tripped on it." Do you stand there and you keep repeating yourself? Or do you keep walking your way because you warned them? What happens if they trip in the same spot that you tripped after you warned them? Isn't it that the very warning you gave them was executed because it was ignored or it was rejected? Unlike you, I'm coordinated. I don't get easily tripped. And then they trip. That's why God removed these representatives of wisdom. They have nothing else to say. What they had to say, they've said it. And now what they've said is going to be repeated in action. You chose not to listen. Now you have to deal with the consequences. You chose to believe yourself more wise than them. You chose to be stronger than them. Well, then here you go. But you cannot say, as he said in chapter 2, verse 5 of Ezekiel, you cannot say there was no prophet in Israel. If you fall, it isn't because you did not know there was a dip right there on the pavement. It's because you chose not to listen to the advice and you quickly forgot the warning that was issued by their lips. Brethren, we cannot deceive ourselves thinking that God will be calling us every day. He will be with us every day. But God has spoken once, and what He speaks once stands forever. You know, I was thinking about that earlier today. I was thinking about the fact that I have been blessed to be here a little over 6 years now. And the reason I was thinking about was, and how have I been able to take out lessons out of the same scriptures for 6 years, and I can still take lessons on, even though they're the same scriptures? Many of the scriptures that I've shared in different lessons, I've shared in other lessons. But pay close attention to the fact that it's always been in a different light. And yet, it still ties into God's purpose. You see, what God speaks, brethren, is perfect. And that's why He doesn't need to keep telling us the same thing over and over and over again. You know how the only way God can say the same thing over and over again today is? If we read the same passage every day. But here's the beauty of it. Every time we read the same passage, there's something more we can learn from it. But if we never open and allow God's voice to speak, well, wisdom is going to disappear. Wisdom's children are going to disappear. Because unless we open this book right here, God will remain silent. God does not speak in dreams, visions, signs, miracles. Those times have passed. Today, God speaks through this word, and those who have been taught to rightly divide it, teaching others how to rightly divide the word of truth. But if we don't open it, then the children of wisdom will remain silent. But they will still be justified. They will still be justified because their teachings, their instruction, their guidance will still prove to be true whether we accept it or not. Ezekiel chapter 27, excuse me, chapter 7, verse 26 shows us, brethren, that the prophet, the priest, and an elder, they would disappear because they were not heeded when they were warning before everything happened. Because what God has spoken will stand. And because the answer was not going to change just because the situation worsened. The answer would remain true and would remain the same. My friend, this means that every time I give the invitation, I'm not going to add or take to it. I may try to give it to you in a different way. I may use other passages to validate it, but the reality is that the pattern is still the same. You have to hear the Word of God. You have to believe it. And when you have heard and accepted it, you will allow it to pierce your heart and you will have a change of mind. This is known as repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10 teaches us that godly sorrow leads to repentance and repentance unto salvation. Meaning the moment you stop being rebellious and you start being submissive. The moment you stop resisting God and you start accepting God. The moment you quit saying, I can defeat sin on my own and say, I am a sinner. I need you, O God. That's repentance. And when you've done that, if you confess with your mouth, what do I have to confess? Well, read there in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 and forward. And notice how at verse 36, it is the eunuch who asks the question, here is water, what hinders me from being baptized? Verse 37, and Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you can. You know what that eunuch said? Not the sinner's prayer. He confessed, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then there was something else he spoke. He ordered the chariots to stop. And then he and Philip descended into the waters to be baptized. You can't just say you believe. You have to show that you do. But when you rise, you will rise to a newness of life. Romans chapter 6 verse 4. Or as in the case of the eunuch, you will rise with great joy. Because you now walk with God. And you now will be a child of wisdom. And your life, the transformation in your life, will justify wisdom. Wisdom is justified by all her children. You will justify wisdom because you will prove that making this decision was the best decision that you ever made in your life. But one day, you're not going to hear this voice anymore. One day, God will stop calling you. One day, God will silence the voice of His children. Beware, that day is not tomorrow. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, you can take advantage of God's advice to you. If there's anyone here tonight that is ready to be a child of God through the waters of baptism, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation.